Live from...
Live.
No, we're not.
Hollywood, California.
No, we're not.
And somewhere deep inside the United Kingdom.
No, we're
it's
not.
It's the Andy That's and Amanda show.
None of that is true.
It's just now became a classic.
That's true. That part's true.
This is a program you do not want to miss. Featuring very special guests.
Anyway. You know,
hey, boys.
We have the Andy Amanda show. Join us 525-988. I'm Andy Kimball, and we have with us also online is Amanda Love, live in Mexico.
Wouldn't it be better if you put her someplace?
It would be. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Someplace where?
What's up? Hey, Amanda.
Hey, my darling.
Hey, Andy.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Fine.
You know where I'm going? I'll tell you where I'm going.
Where? Woo!
The Wizard.
You bet.
My wife.
G.I. Jane のジョークだったんです。
No! I never mentioned
G.I. Jane.
Yeah, right. He's back.
I don't know.
You never did what, Mandy?
Hey, man. Let's kick off the show with a boogie.
Well, that was great. Let's do it.
I'm a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Contain your kind of whoop-ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey,
what a start to the week, huh? I mean, it's a start to our show's week.
Yeah, we missed... Yeah. do we miss Monday, or do we do a show Monday? I forget.
No.
No, we had their... what was it? Juneteenth Day. I was going to say Martin Luther King. I was going to say it ain't Halloween. No. This is something June 20th, 22nd, 2020. Hey, 6/22/22. Ta-da. Hey. You know what that means?
What that means?
You got it!
Wow.
A penny? A nickel? Would you hold your horses and let me get the dirt off? A dime! We're in the money. We got a word of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
You
bet. Speaking of old movies, do you know that Rob Zombie, the film director and the musician, is remaking The Monsters?
Oh, really?
It's a disgrace what happened, frankly. A real disgrace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Trump. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Wow. Rob Zombie. Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
Is that true? He really is?
Yes, the monster. Yep.
It's a Democrat hoax.
It might be.
Oh, that is so cool, though. That is so cool. I mean, I wonder what's going to be like. Because I often wonder about things when they remake things, and is it going to be as cool as the first time around? Maybe that's just what every old school person says because they just love the originals of everything, you know?
Yes. You know what? I love the car. The car that they drove, it was like a coffin car or something like that. It was real nice.
Yeah, it had hot wheels and everything.
Yeah.
So cool. So
now,
cool.
Now, only thing we got to remix is Happy Days.
Ah, wouldn't that be interesting? That would be really good, actually. Oh, I'd love to
remake it up. Happy Days is great. Oh, it's great.
Well, I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah, the Fonz. Well, legend.
That was a great show.
Republicans love it.
Yeah, they do. I've been caught up in watching Stranger Things on Netflix. I love that series. Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's really good. But the fourth series. Because it's based in the 80s, which I love. Yeah. I love the fact that they've done that. And when they put the Kate Bush song, Running Up That Hill, because it was in such a unique moment in the series, it went mad. Everybody went mad. They started downloading it again, and it became really high in the charts again. Everybody's been playing Kate Bush. And let's face it, that song is legendary, right? Do you like it?
Raving lunatics.
Yeah.
I love it.
Bring back the gremlins.
Yeah.
I'll be Spike.
Oh man, it's annoying though because in the last series, of course, they do it in two parts. They put a cluster of episodes together, and then you got to wait until a certain date before they release the second cluster of episodes. And I'm like, come on, I got to wait till July 1st.
Isn't there another Batman movie that's around the corner, or does that already happen?
I know they released one recently, haven't they? Called The Batman.
Yeah, The Batman. That's right. You know, it's a shame that the Superman movies stopped. They didn't do that anymore. I think Superman got hurt or killed by.
We call him Kryptonite.
Kryptonite. Yeah.
I know. I love Superman. He's my hero.
Keep doing all these Batman movies, but Superman was like really good. That was like, you know.
Yeah, I really loved the one before Batman versus Superman. What was it called? I can't remember now. And the guy who played Superman was epic.
Christopher Reeve. The original, the guy.
That's
the
original one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Legendary. I did have the box set on DVD, I think, but I don't have a couple of them. I don't know where they disappeared to. I don't know if I let people borrow them and never got them back. I don't know, but...
Oh.
I know. It happens.
Zod, Superman.
Oh, yeah. What do you think Ben Affleck playing Batman?
I think it would be wonderful.
Well, he has already, my darling.
Oh.
But it's...
Funny.
It's okay, Andy. It's okay, my darling. He was alright. I don't know. I love all the different characters they've had. Actors playing Batman. But Ben Affleck is Batman. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I never really took to him.
He's been in so much tabloids, and it's like you got bored of him. I like the Christian Bale.
Christian Bale was great. Yeah.
I thought Keith Ledger did a great job playing Batman.
Really?
The Joker.
Did you watch the documentary about him? He became the Joker. He studied it so much that his whole lifestyle became like living like the Joker.
Wow.
Hats off to him. I mean, the thing is, it ended up really screwing him up that he took all that medication and just ended up dying. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? I mean, there's one thing about getting into a role, but that was just, he took it to another level. It's incredible.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Especially
sorry, sweetie.
Bane. How about the part? Bane, the villain of Batman, Bane, that guy, he had to do this. He had to get his body together, train and everything to be Bane. Real muscular. Bane was a good character.
Yeah. I was going to say about actors like really, really taking it to another level to get, you know, their part, into their part. If you think about what happened to, what's his name, who played Bruce Almighty?
Oh, I know.
We all know him.
Yeah, of course, John, Heath Ledger.
No.
Oh.
No.
the comedian. Of course.
I can't think of his name.
I can see him.
Yeah.
Darn. Aren't we good here? Of course. Our audience probably knows.
Mind it. Yeah, I can see him, but I just can't bloody
Carrie.
Get the name
Carrie?
Right now.
Carrie.
John Carrey. Oh, my God. As soon as we get on the show, our minds just go. It's crazy.
Isn't it something?
Yeah, he's the same thing. And nearly lost himself completely in his character. That was scary.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I thought you were going to say Don Wrinkles.
Who?
Don Wrinkles. Don Wrinkles.
Yeah.
Don Wrinkles?
Who's Don Wrinkles? Yeah.
So I wish somebody would shut him the fuck up.
Fuck, please.
That actually sounds like some sort of comedic porn star.
Yeah. Hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, remember Debbie Dimples?
Debbie Dimples and the one
and Don Rickles.
One I was mentioning. Yeah.
And Don Rickles together. Oh, we can make a great porn film.
Debbie Dimples and Don Wrinkles, they even rhyme. Oh my goodness, that'd be hilarious.
We're loving that. We're loving it.
Are we clear?
Yeah, we are. We like that one. I've got the theme music already queued up here for the movie. Ladies and gentlemen, ooh, the latest from Debbie Dimples and Don Wrinkles.
With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me too?
Uh-huh. See?
I was actually expecting the last part to say, let's get in front of the camera and pretend to screw.
Oh, now we're talking.
Oh, my God. That's where my mind is today. Anyway.
You ever see that comedy? I mean, a real movie called two people make a porn film. Forget what. There were a couple, a guy and his girlfriend, and they were down and out or something, and decided to make a. It's a comedy. It's something. Somebody and somebody make a porn film. Either Netflix or something like this. It's real funny. I remember a couple years back. I think it was called the Andy and Amanda Make a. No, but I forget. Some of our listeners might remember the movie, but it was fun. I think it was on Netflix or one of the streaming video. But it was a great movie and box office hit.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh no! Oh no! Oh my gosh! They see my face.
A human element has been removed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that quite often. Usually when I get up in the morning.
Oh my gosh!
With the girl hanging.
You ready for this?
Yes. I hope so.
Sure.
What? What was I going to say? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Quick,
yeah. The Fed chair, the chief of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, recently said that higher could very possibly cause a recession. But I have a question. Aren't we kind of in a recession in a way? Aren't we in one now?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, we are.
I,
$10.
Do you know, I've seen gasoline prices here in California over $7 a gallon. And traffic in this state, in this area, at least around L.A., and probably around San Francisco and San Diego, and I don't know, but at least I can speak for L.A., candidly, traffic is as it's ever been. I mean, it's the same as always. And, you know, people are going out to eat, and people are doing their thing. And you wonder, how can the average middle-class person with kids and expenses and mortgages or rents and car leases and everything else you have just to live your life afford to live your life with $7 a gallon and everything else going through the roof? If you want to fly anywhere from point A to point B, take a look at Expedia and all the airline fares and so forth. It's unreal.
It is unreal.
Yeah. Things are, and you go to the food store. Do you know what a box of Cheerios costs now? $71. No.
That's
bull. I put the decimal place in the wrong spot. No, I've seen cereal.
I hope they still got the holes in for that price.
$7, $5.99, $6, $7 for a box of cereal here.
Wow.
And everything, you go to the food store. One thing, and even Trader Joe's, and I'm a huge advocate of Trader Joe's. I just about live there. I think it's everything they have is incredible, and it's so much less expensive than your Kroger and your Giant. I don't know what foods. Your food stores across the country, different cities, different
pickles.
Yeah, all that stuff. But Trader Joe's is like pretty incredible. But even their prices have gone up slightly, and I mean slightly, not a lot. If you haven't been to Trader Joe's yet, folks, if you live near one, wherever you are in the United States, Cornell, you know Trader Joe's, right? In Philly?
Yes, man. They have the best meat, and it's fresh, and the food, and pickles, all of that.
Everything you get at Trader Joe's, unless it's something you but everything you get at Trader Joe's is really, really, really good. I don't know if it's credit to their buyers or how they do what they do, whatever it is, but they're owned by the same company that owns Aldi. I've heard of Aldi. It's a chain. I think it's a discount food chain. Yeah, Aldi,
Aldi.
Same company.
Aldi.
Yeah. Aldi, same company, owns Trader Joe's.
I love them.
Yeah.
I
really?
Quite often go there to shop.
Yeah, how's Aldi? The food's there pretty good too, right?
Oh,
Aldi?
I mean, obviously, no matter what supermarket you go to, you're going to find something that you don't like. I mean, that's obvious.
Of course.
But the prices are phenomenal. I can get like nearly twice the amount of shopping, way less, and it tastes just as fantastic as any other supermarket, and they're absolutely fantastic. Like you said, I love the meats. Their vegetables are great. They tend to get in more organic than a lot of other food stores here in the UK, which is amazing as well. And, I rate them, like, 12 out of 10, you know? They're just that good.
Bring back Pathmark.
I remember Pathmark. There's no Aldi in California. I know they're scattered throughout the United States, but at least there's none here in L.A. that I know of. But anyway, I that's so cool that you know of them in the U.K., Amanda, and have been there. But it's the same owner as Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's was started by a guy at one time way back when. As a matter of fact, I live right near the very, very first Trader Joe's ever. A little store, a little parking lot still. I can't believe there's no accidents there, but such a congested little parking lot. A lot of the Trader Joe's stores are bigger, but whenever you get there, and just like Aldi, I guess, but I don't know if the foods are exactly the same. I don't think they are. I think they're similar.
Probably not, but yeah.
Right. It's still really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't know about Aldi again, but I know at Trader Joe's, the prices have gone up just a little bit compared to Kroger and some of the other big national chains where, as I said before, a box of cereal is through the roof. You buy a can of soup. I mean, everything is up. I can't blame a can of soup for being more expensive on Russia. I'm sorry. You know, it just ain't happening. When you think about what, you know, how do we as consumers, as citizens, just, you know, living life, going out there, existing in the world, how do we define a recession, really? When you think about what a recession is, meaning the term of what it is, it refers to a very large, you know, a decline in economic activity, which is contained or designated in any particular region. So, for example, the United States would be, you know, a region, for you know, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's reflected in terms of economic terms by the GDP in conjunction with indicators, you know, rises in unemployment, decrease in spending, blah, 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 blah. But the interesting thing is right now that there are more job opportunities than are people taking those jobs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jobs out there. There's a lot of jobs. And there's, you know, you go through anywhere, at least where I am, and, you know, we're hiring. And we had all these unemployment benefits relating to COVID where the feds kicked in an extra percentage on top of what normal unemployment would be. And you had people making more money on unemployment than they were working. And then they decided during that period of collecting that money that, hey, you know, I'm not going to go back to that job where I made minimum wage or close to minimum wage. I'm going to find something where I can go out and make some more money. I don't blame them. I think that's a good thing. So you're finding, you know, these jobs typically associated with some of the fast food chains, you know, mini marts, you know, hardware, you know, cashier type positions, which would be at least on an entree position when you're first getting hired, that would be more associated with a minimum wage than perhaps somebody's been there for a while or a manager or so forth. And these folks are saying, you know what? If you want me to go work that cash register, you want to go back to me work at that fast food restaurant, got to pay me more. I'm not doing it. $7 an hour ain't cutting it, dude. And they're right. And not that I buy Big Macs, you recall them, or Wendy's, whatever it is, or Burger King, Whopper, or whatever they are. But if I was in the market and I did eat more of that food, I'd be willing to pay more for it if it meant paying an employee more money. That's just me.
Yeah. It's crazy times we live in right now. I mean, it's got me pretty worried, if I'm honest, with the way things are going. Because you know, prices are going up for every single thing, and things are getting worse in the world. You know, we've only just recovered or started to recover from this COVID situation, and the economy hasn't recovered. And we're just, you know, all feeling pretty much screwed at the moment, and we're trying to do our best to get our careers and work moving.
We are. It's a crazy time. And you also think about the kind of unusual circumstance right now, economically. Yeah. And other things that are going on in the world as well, of course. But is that normally a recession is associated with what I just said previously, a rise in unemployment. But we're not really seeing a huge amount of layoffs. We're seeing people wanting to hire people to go to work. And higher prices across the board and everything. So that's kind of weird. And I don't know about where you are, Cornell, or Amanda, where you are down south of us here, down in Mexico. But as I just said, there's an awful lot of traffic out there, and gas prices are through the roof. So I don't know how – I have an electric car.
Yeah.
It costs me extra.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it costs me next to nothing to go – to drive from point A to point B in an electric vehicle. It costs me very, very little. And I pass these gas stations where $6 a gallon, $7 a gallon. I'm like, how do people do it? Holy crap.
It's like going shopping. Yeah. When I put gas in my car, I feel like I done went to the grocery store.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
And then when I go to the grocery store, I feel like I'm paying my mortgage.
Yeah, we do have. I do have an SUV. You know, I have a Ford Flex and also a Ford Focus. You know, the Focus is the Flex for an SUV ain't bad actually. But here's the deal. So what we do typically in the Flex is put $20 of gas in at a time. So even let it go down to half a tank or three quarter tank. Boom, $20 more. Whatever that $20 buys is what we put in the tank. So I'm not going to say, well, even though if I brought it down to zero and filled it up at from some dollars, which would be absolutely ludicrous, we just put $20 in. And whatever that $20 is, that's what it is. If gas is $3 a gallon or gas is $7 a gallon, $20 is all you're getting. And I guess that's as far as we'll go in that car, you know?
And the thing is as well, they rely on us feeding into what we need. Because, you know, even if they hike prices up for gas and food, people are still going to go and get these things because they've come to rely on it so much. We need it. Well, we need food anyway, let's face it. But with gas and stuff, yes, all right, there will be people who are making cuts here and there, maybe riding to work or catching, you know, getting a ride with multiple people to save on fuel and stuff like that. And there's many ways to do it, catch a bus, and even those prices are going up. So, I mean, it is very difficult. But there, like you said, there's still as many people on the road because they're relying on that. So they push themselves to pay those prices and end up sacrificing here and there with other things or running up a debt on their credit card. And things that just end up getting worse and worse.
What's scary a bit is they're saying, you know, everything's high, gas prices are ridiculous, airline travel, car rentals ridiculous. But here's what we have to realize. We just went through one of the most terrifying disasters in our history around the world, not just the United States, but speaking about the United States. And I know we have listeners around the world, but this is a global crisis. And now suddenly, well, not suddenly, but over a short period of time, we're vaccinated, we're getting over it. The spike protein, the coronavirus has tossed and tumbled and migrated into a less, for the most part, a less, dangerous virus. And you're seeing people now, there are no mask mandates now on planes and airports, and, you know, we're trying to get, you know, life back to some degree of normalcy. And what we're seeing, people coming out of the woodwork, and because suddenly we're coming from a lockdown to hey, right? We're seeing the demand for gas go through the roof because there's so many more cars suddenly on the road. We're not in COVID anymore. So that has something to do with it. You know, and it's a very rare combination of economic and also geopolitical forces that have manifested themselves and kind of taken shape within our society and are visible at the gas pump. When you look at the economy's rapid recovery, and man has it, from the pandemic, demand goes up, prices go higher. Hey, let's take advantage of it. Right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, okay, so that's A. B, the invasion of Ukraine leading to a global backlash against Russia, which does produce more oil than all but two other countries in the entire world. Right?
Yeah.
So we have Russia's oil stopping. We have an increase in demand. We have some gouging by corporate America, and there's no question that that's happening as well. There's no question that the gas companies are doing what they do, and that's creating a profit for the people who buy stocks in their companies. They want to put cash in their pockets, and there's no question that that is also driving this. And I think I've said on the show, I've actually heard some of the CEOs by the leading oil producers in the United States say independently, not together, that there is no oil shortage here, but our job, our mission as a CEO is to line the pockets of our shareholders.
Yeah.
And they are indeed. Now I'm not saying that's why we're paying so much at the pump, but that is a contributing factor along with the Russia invading Ukraine and the sudden demand for gas. Bam. If you look at fuel gas prices, where they've come from, they've more than, doubled or something in 2 years? They went from, February. Let me see if I look this up. Gas prices, 2 years. Let me see. Here we go. Okay,
gas
here we go.
Prices, what, $3?
You look at February. Let me get this down. What's the average here? Okay, just picking any month. I'm going to pick February of 2020, $2.53 a gallon, right? $37.95 to fill up a 15-gallon car, right? April 2020, midst of COVID. Demand's way down, right? $1.94 a gallon, $30, less than $30, $29 to fill up the same car.
Right.
April 2022, $4.21 or $63.15 to fill up a 15-gallon car. June 13th, last week, $5.01 average, $75.15 to fill up the same car. So we went from $37 in February 2020, COVID, forget that, it went down to $30, right? But to now, it went from $37 to $75 in 2 years. Now, you tell me that person who's driving that 15-gallon capacity car has gotten a double pay raise to so their life doesn't have to change. No, they haven't, nor can the companies who employ that person afford to give to double their employees' salaries across the board.
Yeah.
So, and now what they're talking about is what Biden's trying to get Congress to do here in the United States is to declare a tax holiday. This has to pass through Congress, which would mean you don't pay federal tax on gas for however long. Now, what does that save us? That saves us a whopping 18 cents a gallon. And when you're paying $7 here in California a gallon or more, 18 cents, you can take it or leave it. It ain't going to help me much. I guess on a full tank of gas, whatever, a couple bucks, whatever, I guess it's better than nothing. But we need to do better than that. And here's the tragedy of all of this, that Biden and the Democratic administration has nothing to do with any of it directly. There's nothing that Biden did that is causing that cost, that box of Cheerios to go from $4 or $5 to $7, whatever it is, depending on where you live. What did Biden do? Go to General Mills and say, charge more for your cereal? No, he had nothing to do with what corporations do.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the fact what he did do is do an amazing job in containing the coronavirus, which Trump failed at miserably. And we've had tremendous amount of hours on the show before the vaccines and when we're experiencing, 4,000 people dying a day in this country alone.
Yeah.
And Biden sitting there saying, oh, it's going to, I'm not going to rehash that. But anyway, so Biden has done an amazing job in containing this virus. When he took office and he made a commitment, a lot of other things going on, here's what I'm going to do. And he did it. He did it with the help of many others, of course. He didn't do it alone. And did he invade Ukraine? No. Did he suddenly say, hey, everybody's going back to a normal life, so therefore it's going to drive up demand for gas, and therefore people are going to charge more for gas, and we need more gas. We have to do more things to get it. Got to drive up the prices. Did Biden do that? So is this why we shouldn't reelect him? Is this why we are in danger right now in this country. We are in a very precarious position right now in this country, because if the GOP, not the GOP, but the Trump GOP, begins to take regional, statewide, and national offices in this country, we are up Schitt's Creek. We are in really, really tough. I would think about, Amanda, wasn't about a week ago you and I were talking about the happiness index in Sweden and Denmark and also the UK when we were talking about healthcare availability in UK and education availability in UK if you went to the public colleges there. And the happiness and remember we talked about the happiness index in those countries?
Oh
right?
My goodness, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I think that was a week or two ago, I forget. It wasn't long ago. But we look at this country now. And I don't know if you've been following the hearings, Amanda or Cornell, or our listeners. I'm hoping that some of you, if not able to watch it live on TV or monitor it on radio, whatever it might be, that you do go home at night and at least play or skim through some of the testimonies and see the videos of witnesses of the insurrection and what led up to it. This has Donald Trump written all over it. If this man is not indicted, I might have to parade around in a mankini and do the show live in the mankini.
I've been waiting for that for so long. I mean, come on.
Well, that would be cool.
How long ago? Nearly 2 years ago. We've been saying about getting this mankini.
Do you remember? I said if Trump wins, I was going to have pictures on our website of me in the mankini, and I would have embarrassingly enough done it. Tried to keep my girl's figure. You know what I'm saying? But if Trump, it's spelled out, and I'm not going to just go in and rehash the entire. We'll probably have a show dedicated to our summary of this when this kind of wraps up, rather than just give you highlights of bits and pieces along the way. I'd rather wait till it's over and then really have an in-depth conversation and bring in guest panelists and talk about it deeply. But for right now, and I'm not going to spoon feed you as to what happened. Every, you know, CNN, Fox. Well, no. I heard somebody. I think it was Sean Hannity on Fox News. The first day of hearings, right?
Yeah.
Fox News said, "Hey, during Antifa, which is not a group of people, it's a philosophy, a political thought, a philosophy. It's not a group. There is no Antifa group. I belong to it. Nothing you can become a member of." But anyway, okay. So he said, "Antifa." Did you ever see Congress having hearings regarding the destruction of the Antifa riots? Did they have congressional hearings about those? How come they're having congressional hearings about an insurrection and a takedown of democracy, and they're not having one about the Antifa protests? That's pretty much what they said. They didn't use the words, how come we're not having they didn't use the words insurrection or takedown of our democracy, and they came damn close to it. And how come we didn't have these same hearings regarding, quote-unquote, Antifa riots?
Yes.
A small group of thugs were responsible for some of the destruction that occurred during those otherwise very, very peaceful protests, not riots, but protests. A small group of thugs, given excuse for to join anything where they can cause chaos, they will. It doesn't matter what the cause is. That fragment of society does exist out there. And it was a small group compared to the thousands of people who peacefully demonstrated during the George Floyd murder and so forth and other events that occurred during that time. But you were looking here at an attempted overthrow of our democracy, and it's clear as day. And it was all orchestrated by Donald Trump and by John Eastman, his attorney. He fired his campaign staff and campaign managers, and even his family told him January 6th, and leading up to January 6th, "Dad, you lost the election." And during this insurrection where people lost their lives, right, he's watching television for 2 hours. While people are trying to call him and tell him, stop it, you can do this. And this is what he wanted to happen.
Yeah.
He wanted to have this happen. And there's evidence of this leading up to January 6th, not on just January 6th. January 6th isn't the problem. The issue is the attempt to overthrow our government and keep somebody who lost a national election in power through means that violate our own very United States Constitution.
Yeah,
and know what they said? Eastman says, "Well, go ahead." They go to Georgia, they go to Arizona. They tell the Secretary of State in those states to go ahead and appoint fake electors. And fake electors actually had a meeting. And they're going to send these fake electors to Washington to replace the actual electors, the electoral electors that Pence had in hand, the real bona fide electors, which the American people voted for and sent them to put our next president in place, would have been Trump or not. In this case, Trump lost the election.
Wow.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So fake illegal electors had meetings that they were actually going to go ahead and hope that Pence was going to disqualify the real electors that were expressing the will of the American people and put in fake electors that would have disqualified all the votes for Biden to put Trump in. That was actually happening. That was actually occurring. Why? Because Trump, Giuliani, Eastman, they said it could be done. Know what they said? Eastman said, "We'll do it." He's talking to Secretaries of State. "Why don't you just do that?" And the Secretary would say, "I can't do that. It's against my faith. It's against my will. It's against the oath that I took as Secretary of State. It's against my oath I took as Attorney General, if the case might be in that state." And they made all these calls to all these states, all the states that they figured were key states that made the difference between Biden and Trump winning. They called the Secretaries of State they several times. Giuliani called several times. The guy wouldn't even take his call, and you hear the voice recording, you hear the voicemail. "Hey, I understand that you're not taking my call, but I have some serious things I need to express to you. Like, go ahead and fire the electors. Don't count them. Put our fake ones in."
Yeah.
And these folks, you know what they did? And these are people who were Trump supporters in Arizona. Secretary of State, this guy was he lobbied for Trump. He worked for Trump. He wanted Trump to win. Trump lost. He did what he had to do. He said, "You know, Arizona's going for, you know, I'm not going to overturn our electors." And Trump and Eastman and Giuliani and Poole, what's that woman's name? I forget the attorney, whatever her name was, somebody Poole. Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell. They all wanted to tell these officials in these states to just do it anyway, and then let the courts sort it out. And Eastman said, Trump's counsel said, the courts won't even touch it. The courts won't. It's at politics. The courts won't touch it. Thereby, Trump will get in again. Done deal.
Yeah.
This is absolutely unbelievable. You see this unreeling before your eyes during these hearings. It is absolutely unreal. There's so much evidence that Donald J. Trump is the root and the basis of this. If he is not indicted, it truly says that the President of the United States is indeed, in fact, above the law. That's what it says.
Wow.
If this were anybody else, if this were any other citizen in the United States, we'd be in jail. You'd be bringing us cookies on Santa Amanda.
Yes, I would. Oh, and I'm sad to say he would too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. Unbelievable.
Well, actually, it is unbelievable. Hmm? You can make us some cookies and send it to us, you know?
You want me to make you cookies?
Yes.
You want some cookies?
Yes.
I'll do my best.
it's crazy, though. It's like... That's what I do after
that.
Yeah,
it makes me feel that way for sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, it does. Yeah.
No, but yes, yeah. I understand. It is. It makes me angry, and so often I just don't say anything to people because you can get into a really lengthy discussion with people, and they come at you with their views, and you go at them with your views, and you get irritated. Well, I do anyway.
But the whole thing is this: that there are no views. To have, you know, you
exactly
the law on the law. Evidence is evidence. Testimony is testimony under oath. If somebody says, well, I have an opinion, you're entitled to your opinion, but that doesn't mean your opinion is the facts of the truth. That, you know, we have to address truth and facts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Truth, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Cornell heard this, but we do have a few highlights that I'd like to play for you that Amanda and I heard, I think, last week. Cornell missed this, but for those of our listeners that didn't get to hear this, you know, judge for yourself. You take a listen to this and you judge for yourself. These are just a few highlights that we were able to pick up from the January 6th congressional hearing now taking place in Washington.
No, I'm telling you, if Pence cave, we're going to drag motherfuckers through the streets.
Then President Donald Trump, riling up his supporters on January 6, 2021. And directing their anger towards Vice President Mike Pence.
Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country.
Trump personally putting the pressure on Pence in a tense phone call that morning.
He called him a wimp.
It was a different tone than I'd heard him take with the vice president before.
Do you remember what she said?
That there are two different types of orgasms, a vaginal and a clitoral one, and that the woman who needs clitoral stimulation is an immature woman.
It has become evident to me.
All as Trump had been told repeatedly that Pence had no authority to simply reject states' electoral college votes as he presided over the congressional certification of the 2020 election.
Was it your impression that the vice president had directly conveyed his position on these issues to the president, not just to the world through a dear colleague letter, but directly to President Trump?
It has become evident to me.
The committee focusing today on the role of Trump attorney John Eastman, who pushed the theory that the vice president could overturn Joe Biden's victory.
All we are demanding of Vice President Pence is this afternoon at 1 o'clock, he let the legislatures of the state look into this so we get to the bottom of it.
Privately, White House officials were alarmed and pushed back on Eastman.
Yeah, they thought he was crazy.
I said, are you out of your effing mind?
What? Are you out of your mind?
Even Fox News personality Sean Hannity sending these text messages to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, saying on January 5th, I'm very worried about the next 48 hours. But as he was peddling the theory, Eastman knew it was bogus, writing in October 2020 that nowhere does it suggest that the President of the Senate gets to make the determination on his own. Pence's formal counsel recalling tense deliberations in the White House including this demand from Eastman on January 5th.
That I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. As long as there was such a base, I felt strongly that it was necessary to see the constitutional process through to its conclusion, that to do otherwise would be unfaithful to the spirit of that deliberately difficult process, and a dangerously destabilizing precedent for the future.
What most surprised me about that meeting was that when Mr. Eastman came in, he said,
"Here I come to save the day.
I'm here to request that you reject the electors." He came in and expressly requested that.
And as Trump and Pence were privately sparring about the vice president's role, Trump issued a statement saying he and the vice president were in total agreement that Pence had the power to act.
We were shocked and disappointed because whoever had written and put that statement out, it was categorically untrue.
The message came from Trump.
He dictated most of it.
Had Trump succeeded, former Judge Michael Luttig offering this stark warning.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You said the thing. Believe would have been tantamount to a revolution. The first constitutional crisis since the founding of the Republic.
Now, we're also learning that John Eastman asked to be included in a potential list of pardons in the aftermath of January 6th. Now, he did not cooperate with the committee. In fact, when he was brought before them, he actually pleaded the fifth many times when he asked a number of questions.
Dr. Eastman did not receive his presidential pardon. So let's see what Dr. Eastman did as a result when he was deposed by this committee.
I said, "Good, John. Now I'm going to give you the best free legal advice you're ever getting in your life. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it."
"By assert my Fifth Amendment right. By assert my Fifth Amendment right. By assert my Fifth Amendment right."
Dr. Eastman pled the fifth 100 times.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah. It's so good.
There'll be more.
Those little bits that pop up just crack me up.
Tune into the Andy and Mandy Show, folks. Our number here to get on board is 515-605-9888. Feel free to email the show. Give us your input, your thoughts, your opinions at the Andy and Mandy Show at gmail.com. Hey, you know, I contacted, actually I was in touch with a few people over the past couple of weeks having to deal with the really depressing subject of dealing with grief from a loved one, a friend, family, or me, who passed away, who died as a result of fentanyl poisoning, of a drug overdose dealing with fentanyl. And my sister's oldest, my nephew, died of fentanyl at the age of 25. Another, I guess, I don't know if on the other, my wife's side of the family, her brother's wife, whatever that makes to me, sister, anyway, another distant relative, something like that. Yeah, sister, whatever. They tried to get hold of their son for a long time and there was no answer, and they went to his house or apartment. They couldn't open the door. They finally got something to open the door with, and they walked inside, 24 years old. And he was blue. He was dead. Fentanyl. He wasn't even a big time user. He bought something from somebody.
Fentanyl stuff. Everybody
and he died.
Like,
yeah.
These young kids are doing fentanyl.
Oh, it's amazing. And this kid that I just spoke of was 24 years old. His dad found him, and he lived with his dad, and they had a very, very close relationship. So it was devastating, incredibly devastating to his dad. His dad has gone on to write a series of books. Oriented to children, to kids, in a way that they would find, you know, as much as you can find engaging. I was going to use another word, but engaging in how to deal with grief at that age, if you lost your brother, your sister, an uncle, dad, whoever it might be, sudden overdose, bam. So he's going to come on the show. I'm going to have my sister come on the show, and not only is my sister included in this because she lost her son, my nephew, but she's also a family therapist. And the person who sold the fentanyl, or the fentanyl-laced opium to my nephew is in jail now for murder, just of my nephew. Yeah, he's in jail waiting on further hearings, but he's in jail. And we're also going to have Ken and and we're going to have my sister on, and we're also going to have a woman, and excuse me for not remembering her name just now because I just met her today online, somebody who lost her husband, who's written several books on dealing with grief having to do with fentanyl. And we will address this. I mean, this fentanyl issue, I mean, we lost over 70,000 folks last year due to fentanyl poisoning, and that number is going through the roof. It's much higher now. As we might recall, Prince died of fentanyl overdose. Fentanyl is what killed Michael Jackson. Yeah.
My goodness.
And what they're doing is these drug dealers or you know, mixers, whatever, are using fentanyl to replace opium. Fentanyl is ten times. They'll use opium, but then they lace it with fentanyl to decrease the amount of opium, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And fentanyl has 10 times the effect of opium. So a tiny...
Oh, hello? It has gone on quiet. No, I can hear you, Mr. Cornell.
Huh?
I can hear you.
They shut them down.
These black SUVs, or they pulled up and... No, it's not SUVs, what are they?
Hey, let me look at my cameras. I didn't say anything, guys.
No, I know. Come back to us, Andy.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm sorry. Those three tones, dee dee dee, and I was off. You know, bam.
Oh,
that happened.
That's what the escalator showed up. I was like, oh my god.
Yes. Cornell, sorry about that, folks. But,
Andy,
it's internet.
I'm on air. I said, I didn't say anything.
That usually happens when Cornell speaks. I get cut off. No. That happened on Friday's show as well. We had Michael Tinhorn on the as a guest. I got cut off, I think. But you guys were talking. I don't think you knew the difference. I got off and got back on again. But now I figured out how to get back on. I can do that. So if that, in looking ahead, if I suddenly disappear, I'll come back on. Yeah.
When you disappear, Amanda said, "This is the Andy Kimball Show."
Oh my god!
That's crazy. I wonder what those three beats are.
That goes do do do, and then
it's like a phone, isn't it? The phone makes that noise sometimes when you're trying to.
It's probably a warning.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I don't know what it is. It's happened several times. It's happened several times. You know what I mean?
One day. Yeah,
you're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way about this country.
Oh,
you're
man.
You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this
way. Yeah.
How rude that person. Hush now.
Yeah.
You know, Andy was talking about something very serious.
Yeah,
I was.
So your sister's going to come on. That is great. I mean,
my sister. Oh, yeah, I was saying, I'm sorry, I got to be like the third person. We're going to have a panel. We're going to have a panel discussion on the show. Discussing fentanyl, discussing OD, discussing grief, and it should be a fascinating show that I look forward to moderating, if you will, and having our panelists really, you know, it'll be fascinating. We'll all be on board. Amanda will be on board, Cornell will be on board, I'll be here, and we'll have the guest panelists addressing this devastating topic. I'm not sure what we're going to do it in July. I'm not exactly sure when. But stay tuned, folks. It's going to be a fascinating show. All that we'll have on is, you know, we just had Michael Tinhorn.
10 months.
You said 10 months.
Yeah. They were just waiting for the lion and the scarecrow. Sorry, darling. Yes.
We're just joking. Yeah.
Michael, we're going to have through Mike is be able through his he's got, as we spoke of, we've had him on our shows a couple of times now, but he has, and we have mentioned the amazing musicians that he has performing with him and recorded with him. One of which is none other than the great Mike Garson, who was David Bowie's keyboard player for 40 years. Mike was on every album except his last one, when Bowie didn't tell his friends and musicians that he was dying of cancer. So Bowie brought in other musicians to record that last album. But aside that last album, Mike was on every Bowie album, on Ziggy Stardust and all the live albums, Loud and Sane. To hear this guy play keyboard is absolutely amazing. And you ought to hear him with Michael's music, Michael Tinholm's music, man. Does an amazing job just listening to Michael play with Mike Garson in the background. But anyway, Mark Garson, the David Bowie's keyboard player, will be joining the Andy and Amanda show in the very near future as well. And let's look forward to that. So we have a whole bunch of really cool things happening here on the show. And also, as I think we were talking about the NAMM show, of course, several times, and I mentioned that I saw a all-female Aerosmith tribute band that blew the socks off. I mean, they were incredible.
Wow.
They were amazing. That band is going to be, or at least a few members of that band, are going to be joining us on the Andy and Amanda show. So we have a lot of real fun stuff coming up. And as you can see, we're kind of, you know, politics, music, entertainment, psychology, spirituality, religion, sex, more sex. Excuse me, spirituality. And we talk about, you know, makes the show fun and interesting and diverse. And we invite your participation.
Oh, absolutely.
And your emails and your comments, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm excited.
And Amanda, you're in about a month's time. You're headed back to the UK.
Oh, less than a month. I'm counting the days.
Man.
Not because I want out of here, but because it's like I'm enjoying myself so much.
I know. Yes. You know, I have all these intros and all these music clips and things that talk about you being in the UK and me being here that are chomping at the bits to get played on our show again. So,
blow the dust off them, bring them back.
And what we didn't talk to Cornell about yet is Cornell, this is your department. You know, when we did the show. During this time period, I think it was 5 or 6 p.m. Pacific time, 8, 9 p.m. your time, Cornell, East Coast. And we were 5 days a week, actually. And Amanda had to get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning to do the show from the UK, which she did, right?
Oh, I stayed up. I didn't go to bed. I was literally from crack of dawn right through to about 4 in the morning.
Holy crap. Yeah. More power to you. So to avoid that, when Amanda returns, we're going to have to change the time again as to when we go live on Coast to Coast on the Andy and Amanda show. So we'll have to talk about that. And folks, stay tuned. We'll put it on the web. We'll put it on social media. So I know we have a lot of live listeners and people who follow the show, and we are going to be, in a different time period sometime in July. What we talked about, Cornell, is we'll probably take a little bit of time off from the show and then come back on at our new time after our little break.
Yeah. I think we will discuss that because we got a lot of work to do because we going to shop some deals.
Yes. And we have some radio stations. We've been handed a list of which we haven't begun diving into yet that we actually might be taking the show to commercial radio soon. I mean, I hope. You know, we'll see. Anyway, we do have to get out of here. This has been fun. A lot on our mind. I'm just, sorry to carry on about this congressional thing and Donald Trump. It's unreal. It's just unreal. And we'll be following. If they go on back again tomorrow, the congressional hearings pick up again. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes up tomorrow. Anyway,
cool.
So this has been fun, Amanda. Do it to it, babes. Yes. We'll see everybody Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
All righty, then. So on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love, here in Mexico, and our wonderful coordinator, Cornell Butler from Delaware, We thank you so much for joining the show and listening to us waffle on. We love you and we appreciate your support. Catch us again on Friday and take care. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's wrap up the show with some more boogie.
Ooh.
Drive careful. The license say it may be fine. I'm walking.